The Survival Guide to Life, a podcast about how to win in life every second, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, consistently.
Hey everyone, how's it going? We got another episode of The Survival Guide to Life, and this week we have Sandell Taylor. So I know, Sandell, you and I were talking a little bit, but everyone who's tuning on in right now, really quick, I guess, could you just give them a brief introduction on who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So first off, thank you so much for having me on. So my name is Sandell Taylor, and I am currently a educator with cosmetology. So I actually teach people how to do hair, skin, and nails. I am also an advocate for heart health awareness, and I've been doing that for about 15 years now. And then on, you know, my side hustle is I am a beauty queen, and I like to compete in pageants. Most recently, I was Mrs. Germany World in 2020, and before that, I was actually former Mrs. Pennsylvania America 2018. And I just love getting out there in the community and really getting involved and giving back to others, because I find that when you have a gift, of whether it's a talent or something that you're able to do, that you should share it with the world. And I also believe that if we can start to work together and share ideas with one another, that we can become heart healthy and live better lives. So that's a little bit about me.
That's a really impressive background. And I guess sort of what came to my mind first was, what was the sort of like resilience or the sort of like mindset and the defense mechanisms you had to sort of set up for yourself to pave the way for your success?
Great question. So, you know, growing up, I had a lot of challenges in my life that I had to overcome. So, you know, I was bullied throughout high school and just really had a hard time. And then my dad actually suffered a heart attack and stroke the senior year of high school. And that's kind of what started my journey on really getting involved with the heart health awareness. But what people don't realize is at that same time that my dad was suffering, I had to move from where I grew up, my hometown, to a place where I didn't know anyone. And I was that awkward in-between stage of life where, you know, I wasn't quite young enough to still be in school because I had just graduated high school, and I wasn't really ready to go to college yet. So I really didn't know anyone. So I think that that was really challenging, to move to a completely new place where you don't know anyone. And unfortunately, you know, I kind of fell in with not necessarily the best crowd. And I don't mean that in a completely negative way, but I kind of surrounded myself with people, again, that, like I said, I didn't really know truly, and I ended up unfortunately getting pregnant at the age of 19, and I love my son, and I couldn't be more grateful, because I believe everything happens for a reason. But I ended up getting pregnant at a very young age, and ended up finding out that the person that I was with later on was just not a good person at the time to be with. At the time, I ended up becoming a victim of domestic violence, and he had an addiction to opioids and a drug addiction that I wasn't aware of fully, and I'm very lucky to get out of that. So throughout the years of, you know, leaving with that and then having a very young son at a very young age, you know, I also went through homelessness and going around from car to car and house to house and spending time with different friends and family members, all to be able to survive that domestic violence situation and keep my son and myself safe, I think really led me to this resilient path of showing other women and even other men that, yeah, you can start over. And I left with what I could fit in my car, and mostly I took my son's stuff. And you know, I'm grateful, because now I look back and I couldn't imagine my life being any different. And I think everything that I went through then has put me in a path for what I'm doing today. And I'm happy to sit here and tell you, Omar, that over the past couple years, you know, my son's father is completely rehabilitated for over 3 to 4 years now, and he's back in my son's life, and they're bonding, and they're doing really well, which I'm really grateful that I have the opportunity to tell you that story, because some people don't survive opioid use, and some people don't survive drug use, and now my son gets to have two dads, I like to say, because I'm also married, and, you know, all these great family members so that he can have a really rich life. So, yeah, when you ask, you know, what are some things that led you to be resilient, I have to say I've been through a lot for my age, but again, I would not change it for the world.
You know, I could sort of relate to you in certain different aspects, I guess, like, not so much in the domestic abuse, so to say, but as in with the wrong partner and divorce and these things. And then from even into that, then into this sort of like shift and sort of like this moving from one city to another. I went through the same thing, but like halfway through high school, like my first 2 years from like the city, then into the suburbs. And even in that aspect, it was completely different. And, you know, like even this being on the streets and stuff. And you can sort of say, like, even those days when you didn't even know what was going to happen or anything like that, your internal compass, even if you weren't really thinking about it, you always trusted it. So, like, even if you didn't know where you're going, you sort of know that you would be guided in the right place. In that aspect, how would you say that, how pivotal is it to sort of like listen to that internal compass within ourselves?
I think that it's so important to listen to that internal compass, but I also feel like it's important to not only speak your truth to those who are surrounding you. I had a really hard time trusting other people, you know, after this had happened, to the point where, you know, I turned away some friends that I loved and even some family, and I'm so grateful that they realized kind of the situation and were still there for me when I needed it. So I was able to work with them on, you know, helping me guide my voice, because I didn't know at the time what was wrong or, you know, right, so to speak. I sometimes questioned myself. I questioned my instincts. I questioned everything. And so even though I had that gut, that internal compass, I had a really, really great support system. And, you know, throughout that journey, it led me to an amazing support system, an amazing man who is, again now is my husband, who I always refer to as my knight in camouflage armor, who really helped me to get where I am.
So then I guess you can say it really does come down to, like, the people around us, as well as the content we're absorbing, as well as our own mindset. What sort of, like, support systems have you set up for yourself? Like, you know, your knight in shiny camouflage? Like things like that, or say maybe reading a book that sort of helps you and sorts of consoles you.
Absolutely. So at first, when I was leaving that situation, I had a lot of different supports. I actually was working with different partnerships of organizations, such as the Dress for Success program, to help me obtain a job. And that's a program where I live, where you can go as a woman or a man, and they help you obtain interview outfits and work clothes so that you're able to you know, get a better job. So if you remember, I left it without like a lot of stuff. So I kind of just took whatever was in my car. So of course I needed to get a new job, and I really didn't have anything. So I went through this program that was offered to help me actually get that. I actually went through a few different programs that allow single mothers and even single fathers to come in and get help with childcare, to come in and get help with their resumes. Because, like I said, I was leaving the situation, but I knew that I needed to set myself up for success. And then, like I said, I just surrounded myself with the people who really loved me and who really knew that I was struggling and knew that I didn't always know what to do. So really good friends of mine who I'm still friends with today, I really surrounded myself by. Now, I'm still friends with some of those women, you know, actually most of them. We might not talk as much anymore, but now what I feel like that gave me were the tools that now I can pass on, again, to other women or even other men that are in my situation, or, you know, or anyone, even if they're, you know, non-binary, that it needs that help. I can give them the skill set that I learned and with being an educator and talk to them and say, hey, listen, you know, you told me you're having a hard time. Have you ever looked into this program before? Or do you need help with your resume? Or do you need help getting these things? I also now am able to give back in ways that I never have been able to before. So because I'm a licensed cosmetologist, I actually am in the process of starting my own nonprofit called The Haircut Project, and it's actually a project that I've been doing for years. I'm just actually now trying to make it a nonprofit. And so what I do is I actually give free haircuts to veterans and women's shelters, men's shelters. I go to children's hospital and pretty much anyone who's in need of a haircut. And since then, we've actually partnered with the organization that I originally went to called the Dress for Success Program, where we actually give out suitable hair vouchers to be able to come into where I work and be able to get their hair done. So now I'm able to give that skill set back. But today, some of the things that I do are, like you mentioned, meditation, yoga. I like to work out. And two other things, which I think everybody can understand, is I actually love just hanging out with my kids. We started doing something called Camelback Adventures. So I don't know, do you know what a camelback is?
Yeah, and I know what it is. I usually use them if I go to like a concert or like hiking.
Yeah, perfect. So if anyone doesn't know what a camelback is, it's basically a book bag that has like a pouch in it that holds water. That's what it's designed for. So of course, my husband being in the military, he has like thousands of them. So we started taking them on our hiking trips, and we realized that anytime we took them with us, that we were just trying to go different places. So we started this thing called hashtag Camelback Adventures, and we would just show people the different places that we were going, whether it was hiking or driving or for a bike ride. And it was just something that we could do that was not only heart healthy, but to give ideas to other families. These were places that we would drive to, didn't cost money, you know, free things to do, again, with your family. And we always, you know, change people picking. So one weekend my husband will pick, one week my daughter will pick, one week I'll pick, you know, that kind of thing. So those are some things that we can do to just kind of help keep ourselves kind of sane, so to speak. And then, of course, relying on those friends. I cannot say enough that your friends and your family members are there for you, and really surrounding yourself with good people that you trust and that you love and whose values align with yourself.
So then, like, I guess, how important or like how critical is it to be like aware or really have that like bird's eye view of the people who you keep around and really to cherry pick and notice those who are benefiting you, not in any way other than meaning they're providing like value, they're encouraging you, and like others who would be like something like energy vampire or something like that. So like staying away from people who don't really want the best from you and sort of knowing who wants the best for you.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. Is you have to surround yourself with people that are good for you. And it might take some time. You know, I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I have gotten to the point now where I can pretty much tell, you know, within a few times of hanging out with a person, if that person's going to be a good for me person as far as bringing into my inner circle of friendship or not. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a negative person to them. That doesn't have to mean that you aren't affiliated with them. That just might mean that they're not a close friend. And that's okay. You know, we have people that we know. We have acquaintances. Then we have, you know, friends that we might see every so often. And then we have our really, like, close friends. So I think you hit it right on the head when you said just looking for those people who are cheering you on, so to speak, in every aspect of your life. People who are there for you no matter what, pretty much, that I always say that will, you know, be by your side. And then, you know, last but not least, you know, this that love you.
Yeah, I think you should sort of be really hyper-focused in sort of the situations and environments you're in. You'd always want to be around, like, nourishing and environments that, like, provide growth. So my next question, and really what had my mind going down, like, so much of curiosity, was when you won your first pageant, then, like, Miss Pennsylvania, and then Miss Germany, what was your mindset in the first one, and what was your mindset in the second one? And two-part question. The second part is, what sort of inner game did it take to sort of really build up that self-confidence?
Those are great questions, and I like to preface this by saying, when I started competing, I competed for a really long time in different aspects of modeling. I was doing a lot of modeling competitions before I came into pageantry, and I did a couple other smaller pageants as well, too, like calendar searches, model searches, those kinds of things, before I even competed for Mrs. Pennsylvania America in 2018. And even before that, I competed for Mrs. Pennsylvania America for 3 years in a row. So I competed in 2016, 2017, and then in 2018 when I finally was able to win. So first thing I think is the mindset was continuation and strength. I knew when I started pageantry that the goal wasn't necessarily to get the crown. The goal was to continue to better myself and to get out my message about heart health awareness. And I knew that by having a even local title with a sash and a crown enabled me to connect with so many more people. So that's kind of really where it all started. And then it kind of developed into this love of pageantry. Because I didn't know what I was getting into the first year that I did this bigger pageant system. You know, I really didn't know that it was what it was. So then I kind of found out that it was so much more than just about the crown and what you want to do with it. It was the friendships that you make along the way, the amazing time that you have there, and these women that you meet along your journey and their stories. And I kind of just fell in love with it. So I just went back, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this, and this is something that I really wanted. And so the year that I won, my mindset was simply this. I'm going to go in and talk to these judges and give them who I am. Who is Sandel? What are the things that I have been doing over the past years, and why do I think that I would be a great queen? Because at the end of the day, that's all you can do. And when I won, you go to a national pageant after that. So then I was able to compete as Mrs. Pennsylvania America for Mrs. America, which is one of the oldest and longest going pageants for married women. So I got to compete there, which was amazing, in Las Vegas. And when I went into that system, I honestly, I really didn't have any other goals but the same goals as state. Like, I'm just going to go in, be myself, and kind of, you know, just talk and say my piece, like say the things that I want to say. And I left happy and content, and even though I didn't win Mrs. America, I didn't place, I really had a great time. So that got me thinking, well, what's next? You know, what's next? Like, I won this amazing system. I had a great experience. I loved every minute of the national week that I was down there. I got to meet 50 other women that were like-minded. Some of these women were doctors, lawyers, nurses, stay-at-home moms. I mean, you imagine these women that were on this stage. I'm telling you, you're like just baffled. So I was like, I want to go back, right? You're like, I want to do it again, right? It's like your favorite roller coaster ride. So then I decided that I really wanted to do something in honor of my father. So then I started to look into the Mrs. World system, which is a sister system of the Mrs. America system. So the winner of Mrs. America goes to Mrs. World, which, again, is one of the longest standing married pageants for married women. And I wanted to honor my dad. So my dad is German American, and my great grandmother actually comes from Bavaria, Germany. And I have living family in Cologne, Germany as well. And so I really wanted to do something that honored him, because my platform really started because he had a heart attack and stroke when I was 17. And that's kind of what led me on this journey. So throughout my networking and connections with the German Heart Foundation, and my family and the work that I had been doing, I was able to represent my heritage as Mrs. Germany World in 2020, which I can't even begin to tell you how amazing that was, because not only did it open up, again, more doors and more networking opportunities, but it also enabled me to start to learn even so much more than I already knew about my heritage. And it was just really an amazing experience once again. But my mindset was a little bit different going into it a second time. So I had a plan the second time around. I had 5 very specific things that I wanted the judges to know about me. And I had very specific goals in mind about, you know, what I wanted to do when I was at the competition. I knew I wanted to, this is going to sound silly, but I wanted to have my hair and makeup done every day because I didn't want to have to do it myself. It was like one less stress off my plate. I wanted to have a specific wardrobe that I loved. I really wanted to make sure every single piece of clothing that I wore that week I absolutely loved, and that it reflected my personal style. And then the last thing that I wanted to do was just rock it out on stage. And again, that might sound really silly, but I love the stage. And I just decided that, you know, if I'm going to go back, I was going to go big or go home, so to speak. And so I just like, you know what, I'm just going to have fun when I'm on that stage and rock it out. And that's exactly what I did. So everything that I set out to do at that second national pageant when I was competing as Mrs. Germany World, I did. So I just kind of changed my mindset a little bit on exactly what I wanted. But at the end of the day, I didn't come home Mrs. World, and I didn't place. And if you were to ask me right now, would I go back? I definitely would. I would do it all over again. And yeah, of course, I'm probably going to change a couple things. You always have to change and grow in your mindset. But I just love the behind-the-scenes aspect of pageantry, that all of these women are out here trying to make a difference in the world. And like I said, the women that are on these stages are just phenomenal people, and I cannot be more honored or blessed to know most of them.
So I guess it really goes to show, like, how these traits of, like, entrepreneurship, without even you really realizing, were being instilled in you. And really, like, when it came to networking and realizing the opportunity you had with the pageantry, sort of using that as, like, a means to get your message across, and a noble one for that matter, because you were doing it with regards and memories of your father. I guess from anyone who was, or say someone who's listening to this who was sort of, say, in the same mindset or in the same situation as younger Sandel, what would you tell them?
I would simply just tell them never give up. If you have a dream, don't give up on it. Continue to do it. Continue to work at it. To continue to pick yourself up and dust yourself off. And realize that everything that happens, happens for a reason. I truly believe that God has a plan and that we are in that plan and that they know what they're doing. So whatever God that is that you may believe in, I really believe that there is a purpose that we serve in life, and that that is so important for us to realize that there is so much more than what we might see at first. So just pick yourself up and keep going.
It's really awesome advice. I guess if you were listening to this podcast, say like a year from now or 2 years from now, and you sort of want to like manifest something or speak something to existence, what do you want to tell future Sandel?
I would tell future Sindel the same thing. Don't give up. That hopefully in 2 years from now, you're going to be on another stage and doing this again. And that in 2 years from now, you're going to continue all this work that you're going to be doing with your heart health platform and your new campaign that you launched with your social media campaign. And that I'm so proud of everything that you've been doing. And just keep yourself up, keep going, and push harder.
Really awesome to tell your future self that. Now the next is two truths and one lie.
Okay, so I once was able to walk across the stage as Elvis Presley, the same stage as Elvis Presley. I was able to skydive at 30,000 feet. I once sat next to Tom Hardy on a movie set.
You walked across the same stage as Elvis Presley. Is that the lie?
Nope.
Oh.
I actually got to walk across the same stage that Elvis Presley performed on at the Westgate Casino in Las Vegas, both as Mrs. Pennsylvania America and as Miss Germany. It was truly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be on the same stage, and I actually was able to go in the suite that Elvis Presley stayed in as well, and it was truly amazing.
That sounds really amazing. One of my uncles is a really big fan, so I'm sure he'd really like that. The last thing I would say is if you could end on a quote, and maybe a quote that's you just came across recently that's sort of been resonating with you.
So I definitely have a quote that I kind of live by, and it's again a little bit cheesy, but I absolutely love it. And it is, be a pineapple, stand tall, wear your crown, whether it's invisible or not, and be sweet on the inside. It's so important to have that kindness and have that generation. There is someone out there that's looking up to you, beauty queen or not. And in their eyes, you are amazing. So just stand tall and be proud of who you are and continue to be that kindness. The world needs kindness right now. So that's the quote that I live by.
And then, Sandel, if anyone wanted to connect with you or reach out to you, if you could just share your social handles.
Absolutely. So I am going to spell you guys my name because that's how you're going to find me. So I am on Instagram, which is at Sandel Taylor, and that's Sandahl. Taylor is Taylor. And you can also find me on Facebook, the same, Sandel Taylor. And you can find me also on Twitter as well. So you guys can find me kind of anywhere. My name's pretty unique, so I'm out there somewhere. If you Google me, you can find my Instagram handles that way as well. Just make sure you spell my name right.
Thank you again for your time and, I guess, really sharing your insight. You know, in this, you could say, type of situation or story, you can see one that's more prevalent or more common is like the one of the mother who gives up and sorts of just coasts through life, but really showing your grit and your perseverance and showing that if you have a vision and you have clarity and you know where you're going, that anything is possible. So thanks again for your time and for your insight.
Thank you again so much. I so appreciate being on, and I hope you and your listeners enjoyed and have a wonderful, blessed day.
You as well. Take care.